Hi, Cardinal fans. I'm Ozzie Smith.
Corks one into right down the line. It may go.
And you're listening to the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Here's your host, Brent McMillan.
Hello and welcome into another episode of the Cardinals Insider Podcast. From the Busch Stadium press box, my name is Brent McMillan. Glad to have you with us for this episode. Every so often, we get to bring in the host of our Cardinals Insider TV show, Ozzie Smith, and he brings along a famous guest, whether it's a current player or maybe a Hall of Fame alumni. He always gets some top-notch people to weigh in here on the podcast. Today's another example of that. He's going one-on-one with Cardinal outfielder Tommy Pham. Two-part interview, so we'll set it up for you in portions and then let you hear the audio. Now, just like the rest of this 2017 ball club, Tommy Pham has certainly had his ups and downs this season. But there have been moments where he has locked himself into the big league roster because of the way that he has hit. He's trying to nail down consistency. That's been a theme for Tommy throughout his career, and it's been a theme this year as well. First got the call back in 2014, and the talent is there, that's clear, but injuries and a unique eye problem have always hounded the now 29-year-old. We got Tommy and Ozzie together in the Cardinal dugout for the first portion of the interview, and that's where they discussed how Tommy got into baseball and how he persevered and eventually made it all the way to the big leagues. So here's the first part of the conversation. Ozzie and Tommy, here on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
I'm here today with my special guest, Thomas, Tommy, James, Pham, who has had a, you were down in the minor leagues for a little bit. But give us a little background on how you got started in baseball and where you got started.
I actually, basketball was my first sport. Baseball just kind of happened for me. I had some friends in the neighborhood who played baseball, and one spring, my mom set me up to play with the coach who was down the street. You know, he had a son playing, and I joined the team, and it just kind of happened like that.
Yeah, I know you played, you say you played basketball and baseball at the same time. They said that you had a fastball of like 93 miles an hour. Come on now, that's fake news, isn't it?
I used to throw 90, hard.
93, Tommy, come on now. That's fake news.
I really did throw hard back in the day, you know, pre-surgery. I had a good arm.
93 miles an hour?
And maybe even harder.
Oh, man. Tommy Pham, 93 miles an hour. I can't believe it. Come on.
Look, the last time I hit the mound, actually, you know, it was in high A. We had a rain delay, and Adron Chambers placed a bet that he could throw 90. Uh-huh. So, you know, all the pitchers were like, no way. So Adron hopped on the mound, and, you know, he's hitting like 83 or whatever. So I said, look, I can hit 90. And I got on the mound, first pitch, 90. Second pitch, 91. Third pitch, 92. And Dennis Martinez was like, all right, I've seen enough.
You got up at 90.
Three throws.
Did you play the infield too?
Back in my prime, you know,
now,
little
next thing, now, you know what I'm going to hear. I know what I'm going to hear next. I'm going to hear that, well, you know, I'm a pretty good shortstop. Go ahead. Go ahead and tell me how good your hands were.
I mean, you know, I could pick it, Ozzie. I couldn't throw it.
And by the end, 93, you had good arms.
I mean, it was long.
Were you
though.
Erratic?
Very. I was firing balls into the stance. Oh, man, outfield was the best move for me.
Okay, so now, what is your natural position in the outfield? Is it center, right, or?
I came up as a center fielder. I played like 95% of my games in center, so that's more natural to me, just, you know, from the familiarity. You know, but right now, you know, we have decks, so, you know, I'm just trying to get at bats right now and play the best game that I could possibly play.
Yeah, now you got drafted in 2006. You didn't make it to the big leagues until 2014?
Yes.
What was it like? That was a long stint in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And that didn't come without some adversities. And tell us about the ebb and flow of what it took to make it to the big leagues.
It sounds like a long time, but there was a lot of years I didn't even play, really, in the minors, you know, due to injuries. You know, you look at 2006 to 2014, you know, that's sandwiched in between that. There's about 3 years where I probably only played 50 games, you know. So I really didn't have a lot of games under my belt in the minors like you would think. You know, when you look at, 8 years in the minors, there wasn't the games underneath my resume as well. There's a lot of frustration due to the injuries and my inability to succeed in the minor leagues at first, due to me adjusting, vision, and just maturing as a player and a person.
Well, what was it that kept you going? Explain to our young viewers the adversities that you have to deal with and how you dealt with it.
I always believed in myself because I would see guys get called up to a next level or even to the major leagues, and I was always like, I'm faster than him, I throw harder than him, I hit the ball harder than him, if I could just hit better, I'm there. I always felt like I was close. I just had to put it together because, like I said, when I evaluated myself, I was like, I'm better than these guys in all these areas. I could be there if I just do this. So I couldn't give up on myself knowing that. That would have been my biggest regret.
Okay, now you had a lot of different injuries. And I guess the most important one, and you can explain this to us, what was the problem that you had with your eyes?
Oof, very, very complicated.
And what is it called?
It's called keratoconus. For 3 years in the minor leagues, I didn't know I had any vision issues. I just thought I couldn't hit,
What was it? Was it blurry, or were you not picking the ball up?
I wasn't picking the ball up. I was swinging at sliders and I thought they were fastballs. I would go back to the dugout and my teammates, they'd tell me that was a breaking ball. So, I went to go see, I just went into a lens crafters one day and they're like, oh, you have bad vision. So I was wearing glasses that season for quite some time and I didn't feel like the glasses helped. So like the last month of the season, I just abandoned the glasses. And at the end of the year.
And what year was that?
That was 08.
Okay.
2008.
So 2 years now as a professional.
2 years, really, 06, 07, 08, my third season.
Okay.
I made it up to high A at that point, but I finished in low A. So, I'm at a pretty competitive level,
Even with this eye, with
your
eye condition.
And I didn't know I had bad vision. So I went to go see an eye specialist out here and they told me everything what was going on. And through that, I received some clarity. And I felt like by the July of 2009, actually, I felt like, all right, I adjusted to my lenses. I could see now, let's go. And I felt like I took off from there.
And so what did they do? They just give you different contact lenses? Or?
No, I had to wear a pretty special kind of lenses, which, I just learned about this past off season. I'm still learning about this condition. But,
is it hereditary?
It really is, and I'm the only person in my family that has bad vision. I'm one of those one out of whatever many cases that come across this condition.
Well, that's kind of tough as a baseball player.
Yeah, I'm lucky to play.
Yeah, to have to be able to have the success that you've had. I mean, I think it speaks to volumes to how hard you work and the time and effort that you put in.
Yeah, I feel like, your work ethic is a requirement of success. You have to work hard to be successful in life. So, it prepares me every day and, it gives me, confidence in, everything I do.
African-American and Vietnamese, advantage, disadvantage?
Well, let me explain that. My mom is full black, but she's lighter than me. Mm-hmm. If you were to see my grandma and my grandpa and you would see my mom and my aunt, because they're twins, you'd be like, how did they make that baby, those babies? it just doesn't look right. But my biological father, he is black and Vietnamese.
Okay.
So I'm mostly black, but I do have a quarter Vietnamese in me. I'm really light actually in my family. I have a twin sister. She has that nice caramel skin color, that I don't have. You know, there's a few light ones in my family. I'm just one of them.
That's good. You said you only have one sister?
I have two, actually. And I have a younger sister as well. I have a twin sister and a sister who's 4 years younger than us.
Now, are they as talented or more talented? Or how's that work? You know, sometimes the girls in the family might be a little bit more talented. Now, tell the truth.
I'm going to tell the truth. Both of my sisters are athletic, and I have a sister who, my youngest one, she plays softball. And I remember the first time I saw her play softball, because she's big for her size. And when I saw her take off and run, I was like, she can run? Like, I never knew my sister was fast. So I'm like, man, we got some genes in, you know, I guess. But my twin sister did play college ball. I felt like she started playing basketball because she watched the movie Love and Basketball and, you know, just wanted to be like Sanaa Lathan. But she could hoop a little bit. You know, she still thinks she's better than me, but, I'll dunk on her and everything.
There you go. You're going to dunk. Yeah. Now, you want to tell me yet? You dunk?
I could, man, come on now. Hey, I'm one of the best athletes in this game, man, that people don't know about.
You got to believe.
You know, I'm dead serious.
Yeah. So that's great, man. Now, from this point, and you've accomplished a lot to this point, what do you see, or what is it that you want to accomplish now that you have not to this point?
I would like to win a World Series, you know, because Chambers, you know, me and him are still great friends. You know, he talks about it a lot. You know, and that's something that you can always cherish, you know, with not only for yourself, but, you know, with the fans, you know, community. I'm seeing how they bring back, you know, the World Series teams. It's something you can always remember. I would like to establish myself as a MLB player as well, you know, because through all these years, I've only had a part-time role. And, I would like to kind of seize this moment right now and really show everybody in this game that I could play.
Next delivery to Pham is hit hard and deep to left field. It's a long one. Get out of here. It's gone. Tommy Pham has homered for the third time in this series. This time it's in the 14th to give the Cardinals a 6-4 lead.
Ricky Horton with the call on the Cardinal Radio Network back on May 7th. That was Tommy Pham's eventual game-winning home run in the top of the 14th inning at Atlanta. Part of a four-hit, 3-RBI day for Tommy. When he is healthy, he's simply electric. There's really no other way to put it. But as Tommy and Ozzie just detailed, Pham has spent a lot of time just trying to see the ball in the truest, most literal sense of the word. And here in 2017, he's also trying to see it better figuratively as well, looking for an approach which will work here at the big league level. So as we got Tommy and Ozzie up out of the dugout and onto the warning track for part two of our discussion, they dig into that a little bit. Ozzie offers some thoughts, and so does Tommy, about hitting in the big leagues, and Ozzie with a theory on why making contact is more important in this era of baseball than it ever has been in the game's past. Here's part two, a dive into some baseball theory.
You've had a lot of success since you've come back. Seeing the ball good?
I'm seeing it better. I can definitely say that. I still would like to cut down my strikeouts because I, you know, like we talked about in spring, Oz, you know, for a guy with my speed, I have to put the ball in play.
Right.
And, you know, give myself a better chance of getting on base to score runs.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to keep it simple. Stick with my routine. And try to make sure my movements are small and compact.
Right.
You know, just try to simplify everything. That's not make anything harder than what it really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So it's just really trying to make sure that you see it a little bit longer and cut down on the swing when you got two strikes on you.
I don't believe in cutting down my swing. I know I might sound crazy for saying this, but I believe if my body's in the right position with a smaller movement, then I don't have to cut down my swing. I just have to kind of slow it everything down with my movement, with my body, and not my hands. You know, I'm still up there trying to do damage. You know, I still want to hit the ball hard because I could drive it. But, you know, I don't believe in, you know, choking up. And I might sound crazy for saying this because there's a lot of great hitters in this game right now who choke up, you know, Votto, Goldsmith, you know, but I'm just not one of them right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, having played this game 19 years, I think it's all part of the process is doing exactly what you're talking about doing. And I think that you'll realize as you go that with two strikes on you choking up doesn't necessarily mean that you're cutting down. It's all about giving yourself more control.
That's control. That's what they're saying too.
Yeah, it's control. And you know, I if you watch Barry Bonds choked up, he used the bat choked up all the time, and yeah. He had 73 home runs. So it's not so much about cutting down on your swings as much as it's about being able to control it and be able to put the ball in play. And I think that for a lot of teams now, especially if they're built from an offensive standpoint, they're probably not very good defensively. So therefore, just putting the ball in play sometimes is going to give you the opportunity to get on base and steal more bases. So that's one of the things that I'm sure that, you know, you guys talk about a lot, and we talked about it in spring training, and how important it is to be able to put the ball in play, because that's the only way you can put pressure on a defense, by putting the ball in play.
I'm going to think about this.
Think about that.
To heart.
All right.
A special thanks to Tommy Pham and Ozzie Smith for their time on this episode of the podcast. Anytime we can get the Wizard of Oz involved in the pod, we are going to definitely take advantage. On our 10th episode already here on the inaugural season of the CI Podcast, former episodes have included chats with Pepper Martin's daughter, Bill DeWitt III joined us to talk about how the franchise began, and we had an in-depth retrospective on Whitey Ball with Steve Zesch, who is the editor-in-chief of Cardinals Game Day Magazine. To check out those and all of our other episodes, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or visit us at cardinals.com/podcast as well. Another episode, recently we had Tom Ackerman and Randy Carricker sharing Jack Buck stories with us. June 18th was the 15th anniversary of Jack's death, and sadly June 22nd also marks the 15th anniversary of Daryl Kyle's passing as well. He died less than a week after Buck back during that 2002 Cardinals season. Buck had been sick, Kyle hadn't been, just 33 years old when he passed away unexpectedly in his sleep while the team was on the road in Chicago. The game canceled that day at Wrigley Field, and then Cub Joe Girardi stepped up to the mic to inform the crowd.
I thank you for your patience. We regret to inform you because of a tragedy in the Cardinal family that the commissioner has canceled the game today. Thank you.
Mike Matheny was a close friend of Daryl Kyle's. Derek Gould from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch with a really good article last season in which he talked about how the now Cardinal manager pulled out the pin on his watch that day, freezing the moment in time when he lost his friend. That's all for this episode of the show. We're back every Tuesday with a new episode of the podcast. Until then, from Busch Stadium, I'm Brett McMillan. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.